Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Good Wednesday, everybody. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. And the jumpiest man I know, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, on the ones and twos.
Good morning, Nashville.
Hello. How are we doing, JoJo?
Also the most handsome producer in the city.
Stop it, Joseph. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have that title, but now I don't produce anymore.
No.
So Dr. Crane gets it.
Dr. Crane's got it. Well-deserved, too, Dr. Crane.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, what we mean by that, because, you know, consultants will tell you, don't bring up inside jokes.
Is your consultant George Plaster?
I don't know. What
now, hold on a second. Now, I started here in 1987.
No, that was not George. But, yeah, Dr. Crane is, you know, if you walk in a room and he's got the headphones on and he's very focused and he turns around, he's jumpy. He's jumpy. You kind of catch him off guard. And so now we kind of do it on purpose because it's entertaining to us. So,
hey, I'm along for the ride.
You are. You're a good sport about it.
He is a good sport about it.
Appreciate
that. All right. So in a few moments, we'll be joined by Colton Sissons, right?
Yes.
What about that hockey team, Chaser?
Well, they're pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Well, I just read this text that got me sad.
Oh, no.
4837 says, going from that quality entertainment to Big Joe and Chase is such a letdown. Well, thanks.
Well, okay. Paul, writing that stuff in here.
Appreciate that.
We just got stuff. I mean, that's rude.
Hope you step on a Lego.
You know, the first year of Seinfeld was awful. They almost got canceled.
Yeah.
They were like I think that might have been the worst rated or ranked show in the Nielsens. And then look what happened.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's
and
not
they,
us. not
no, and remember, didn't it debut, like its debut was the night that the first Gulf War started, I think.
Maybe it was.
There was some correlation there because okay. Bush had to speak or
okay. Well, whatever. We're getting there. So is it 4837?
Yes.
All right. Well, you are our inspiration today.
Exactly. But yes, the Predators win last night. We will be joined by Colton Sissons in just a few minutes. A walk-off overtime winner by Philip Forsberg against the Pittsburgh Penguins, 3-2. Good hockey game. Michael McCarron, and I cheer for guys like him because he works hard. And I had the opportunity to play golf with him at the Brent Peterson Golf Tournament. Super nice guy. Got two goals last night, two big goals for the Predators. And so always good to see a guy like that get rewarded. And then Pittsburgh ties it up. It goes into overtime, 14 seconds in. Prince Philip Forsberg gets the game winner.
See how fast he was skating?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was just – there's no way. I'd love to see you try to skate that fast and go face first into the
buddy,
boards.
I wouldn't get one push off and then I'd be face planting.
You'd have that little –
have you not seen the video of me trying to ice skate?
Yes, it's pretty funny. We need to get more of that, too.
The best part is, for those of you that have – I need to find this, but I fall down and try and catch myself on the wall – and I fall down, and there's this kid on the other side, and he, like, looks over the wall, like, are you okay?
Oh, man.
It's the funniest thing ever.
We need to get you more on the ice that way. But I what a great play to end the game. That was your first overtime of the entire season, and that's the way to get your overtime is to win it with Forsberg 14 seconds into the extra period, and then you win.
Yep. Stillman has texted me that I guess did Robbie and Joe bring up their lunch? I guess we got to make good on that.
We are. Who said we're not?
I know. I mean, people are just concerned about it.
No, we are. I got to go out of town. I'm going down
Paul
to Chattanooga.
Paul Kaharsky said it earlier.
Okay.
Paul's not invited.
Yeah.
I mean, Keyser forced him way. You're the morning show producer forced him his way into this.
He did. Yeah. He kind of bullied his way in.
And that's fine. You know,
I respect it a little bit because I would have done the same thing.
But you know what I'd love to see, though? The three of us take on the three of them in like Anchorman Brawl in the back parking lot. We'd take
him with the nails inside of the baseball bat.
Like Dr. Crane is totally brick.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he'd be brick. Yeah, he'd be like, and then I, you know, I'd look at him, or somebody say Brick killed a guy, and I'd be like, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Right.
You might want to leave town for.
I'm not worried about Robbie, maybe, but he's getting the dad bod, so I'm not worried about it right now. I've had the dad bod for 30 years.
Yeah,
so
I'd be a little worried about Rex Road.
No.
No, I just think he fights dirty.
No, there's no way. He is from Michigan.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, well, but why is Paul so concerned about our lunch? Here's the deal. For those who don't know, we lost more than me, not really Chase. We said that that Tennessee would beat Georgia, and they didn't. And my argument is, hey, you know what? We talked the first play of the game, Tennessee scores a touchdown, so we're good. And then that's not our fault after that.
No, it is not. Let's say hello to Colton Sissons, Predators forward, who is on the line with us. As the Predators get the 3-2 overtime win last night at Bridgestone Arena against Pittsburgh. Sixth win in a row for the boys in gold. Colton, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well, thank you.
I know you still got to be buzzing after last night and the big walk-off win by number 9.
Yeah, of course. Always feels good to beat the Pens, for sure.
I want to start with, though, Michael McCarron as somebody that I think works hard, fun guy to be around, has been here for the last few years. To see a guy like him get rewarded on two big goals last night, I know that has to just feel good for the entire team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Big Mac's great. He does a lot for a group on the ice, obviously. Yeah, work ethics through the roof and stepping up and fighting guys and protecting his teammates. And he brings a lot in the locker room, too. Guys love him. So we're all pretty happy for him, for sure.
All right, Colton, what was your view last night of Forsberg's game-winning goal in overtime? Where were you?
I was on the bench watching the show. It was a pretty wild sequence. Obviously, it's a big collision at the blue line. It was a little bit distracting, but when we saw number 9 flying in, kind of untouched, I felt like it was over.
Yeah, you know, it's so rare now that a game ends that quickly like that. You know, were you focused on when Philip got the puck, that collision was something else. You talk about the blue line, that kind of take your attention off of things for a second.
Yeah, definitely. That was quite the collision in the middle of the ice there. It was a little bit wild, but certainly gave number 9 enough room.
What's this ride been like? I mean, 6 in a row. I mean, you guys, you know, people talk about it being a young team and all this, but what's this been like, these last 6 victories for this hockey squad?
I mean, it's just been a lot of fun. Obviously, we kind of went from polar opposites there in a little bit of a tough spell before that. So we knew we just needed to get one win under our belt and you know, started building this thing back up and string some wins together. And obviously didn't expect to rip off 6 straight, but here we are, and full of confidence every time we hit the ice now.
I know you face so many hockey teams, you know, over the season, all the teams and everything, but for us hockey fans, Preds fans, it's just something about when you guys beat the Pens, it feels a little better. Is that the same feeling with you guys after, I mean, you're one of the last remaining guys from the Stanley Cup squad in 2017. Does it feel a little bit better beating them?
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously there's some bitter history there, so it always feels good to beat them, especially at home.
Predators forward Colton Sissons is with us. I'm curious, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about overtime and, you know, the 3-on-3 that we've had the last few years and maybe tweaking some things. How do you feel about the way overtime works in hockey right now?
I mean, I haven't had a problem with it, to be honest with you. I didn't really know there was so many issues with it from the entertainment standpoint. I always thought it was pretty exciting, and I was kind of surprised when some of those reports were coming out that they're debating on changing up some of the rules.
Yeah, me too. So hopefully they'll just kind of leave it the way that it is. So you guys continue your homestand against Minnesota on Thursday, and a familiar face will be behind the bench for the Minnesota Wild. John Hines named the head coach earlier this week and got his first win last night. You know, what kind of, I guess, added storyline, however you want to put it, does that add to this game, specifically because he knows a lot of you and knows how a lot of you play?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change a heck of a lot for us heading into the game. You know, I think more so you guys in the media will probably hype it up a little bit. There's a nice little storyline for you on a Thursday night, but it's just business as usual for us, to be honest. I'm happy for him to get another gig so quick, and he had a big win last night, so kudos to him. But, yeah, we're just going to keep doing our thing.
Colton, man, we would never juice up a storyline like that. I don't know what you're talking about, especially Thursday and Saturday. We would never do that with those guys coming in. Hey, I love asking you guys this. You guys got practice today, right?
We're not going to be on the ice today. We'll be at the rink doing some meetings and stuff. But
so what is what's a typical day like for Colton Sissons? I mean, I'm not a stalker. I'm just curious. Like, I mean, do you go to the mall? Do you go to the movie? I mean, what do you do?
No, I don't go to the mall too much. I will be soon here. I got a lot of Christmas shopping to do, but I don't know. I'm a pretty simple guy. I go to the grocery store. I like cooking at home. I like walking my dog around the neighborhood. It just depends what's going on. Pretty chill guy.
What's your dog's name? What kind of dog is it?
My dog's name is Nelly, and she's a Eurasian. There's a Chow Husky mix. A little fluff ball.
Nice.
Very, very nice. Well, Colton, congrats on the win last night. Enjoy the meeting day, and then we'll see you tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena against the Wild.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Yep, absolutely. Colton Sissons joining us here on the program. Have a player every Wednesday around 9:05, and always good to talk to somebody after a win.
It is. He's got the perfect name that should be on Gunsmoke.
Like Colton Sissons.
I mean, he should be that's his name. You know what? Where he's now I'm going to refer to him as the sheriff, not Peyton Manning sheriff, but he's got the sheriff's name of somebody that comes through town on Gunsmoke. Do you watch Gunsmoke?
I did. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Growing up, because my grandmother would always have it on.
Right.
And so I would sit there in the middle of her floor and watch it.
I know Dr. Crane watched Gunsmoke.
Comes on MeTV.
what noon? Right.
Sometimes when you get home from work, comes on around 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just putting that
out. You know, you kind of strike me as the Marshall Dillon type. So
he is. Okay. Straight lace, gets it done. Now, Chase, I'm getting several texts from friends asking about this Corey Perry story. Can you bring it up next?
We can talk about
it. Okay. All right.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
All right. Well, they're asking, so we're going to give what the people want.
Yeah, we will discuss that coming up next. John McClain at the bottom of the hour as well. We'll get into the Titans and the NFL with him. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The organization is committed to a culture of accountability and upholding our values across our employees and players both on and off the ice. Last week, management was notified of possible misconduct by Corey Perry. We immediately pulled him from the game and conducted an internal investigation. Upon learning the findings of the investigation, we made the decision to terminate his contract.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. That was Kyle Davidson, Chicago Blackhawks general manager, talking about the Corey Perry situation. Appreciate Colton Sissons for joining us. Yeah, it's obviously a very interesting one, as he was terminated. His contract was terminated,
okay,
and he was waived. And, I mean, he was having a pretty decent season for Chicago. 9 points in 16 games for the Blackhawks this year. There are a lot of rumors that have been circulating around.
Please tell me a few, Chaser. Do you mind?
Well, there was one that was suggesting that he had some sort of relationship with the mother of a teammate.
Oh, okay. Who would that teammate be?
That would be Connor Bedard.
Okay. But, now I know why my friends are texting me.
Yeah,
okay.
But
degenerates.
The Blackhawks and several NHL reporters have said that is not true.
Of course they're going to say it's not true.
The Blackhawks, you know, with all of this yesterday, and there's a new article that's come out. It's just usually with this stuff you find out what it is, and the fact that we haven't found out what it is kind of interesting. That tells you it must be really bad.
Right.
You know, for them to essentially fire the guy. You know,
was that article, can I find that in the unathletic.com?
You can, yes. So he was waived on Tuesday. No, Joe, before you ask, he didn't wave back. He was scratched before the Columbus game last week. That's when all of this started. It's unclear where the reported incident took place, but it's an incident with a team employee is what they're saying.
Okay. Where there's smoke, there is fire.
Oh, no doubt about it. And
but did they know when they got him with they're getting some sort of trouble?
Yeah, but I mean, like, everything. Now, I will say this. Like, I'm not a fan of Corey Perry. You know, I've seen his plays, a dirty player. You know, I've seen him say some things off the ice, chirping wise, that I don't agree with. But from I've never known anything like this, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Are you
like,
afraid of him?
I'm just trying to.
You're tiptoeing around this?
I'm not tiptoeing.
I got your back. He shows up. I got your back.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I'll fight anywhere, anytime, any place.
You want to fight.
Right.
Big Joe fights, presented by.
But, I mean, what do they say? It takes a lot to get you going, a lot to slow you down. But I'm just saying, you know. But they kind of knew what you're getting into with this guy, right?
Well, I get what I'm trying to, like, teammates of his have always said, like, he's a good guy. And this, obviously, there's something that has happened here that, I guess, disputes that. And so that's what I'm saying. I've never heard of anything like this with him. Like, he's a dirty player and – yeah, I mean, but there were times where I was like, look, he's a jerk on the ice, but he's one of those guys that you hate to play against, but if he was on your team, like, you know, he could help your team. Obviously, now there's some things that have come out. So I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out eventually.
Will he get picked up by another team? Of course he will, right?
I don't know. I don't know. It depends on what it is. Like, that, the teams that could potentially be interested in him are going to ask, okay, I need to know what happened.
Okay.
And it depends on what that is, you know. But, I mean, it was obviously egregious enough for them to terminate him, and then there's going to be I'm sure the PA is going to file a grievance. And, you know, this is just kind of the beginning of the whole thing.
Well, I mean, he'll get – it's like a backup quarterback or something, get picked up to go for it and go on. Hey, the college football playoff teams came out last night, right?
Yeah.
So we got Georgia, Michigan –
pre-conference championship, obviously.
Washington and Florida State. If they all four win, they all stay in, right? I mean, that how it goes?
I would think.
I think Georgia beats Florida State by 50. I think Michigan beats
Washington
by 40.
Yeah.
And then Georgia and Michigan for the national championship would be fantastic.
That would be the one for sure. So let's see. Georgia's got to play Alabama. My thoughts have kind of changed on that game after last week.
Right.
But if Alabama beats Georgia, then that starts chaos.
It does. It goes.
Because I don't think Georgia falls out. I mean, I think Georgia drops to 4. How are you going to keep them out when they went undefeated and then, yes, they lose the conference championship game, but
right. FSU's playing Louisville. I mean, that's gonna be a good game. I mean, that's not a
I give Louisville a chance, even though Louisville just bleeped the bed against Kentucky.
Now, are you satisfied with these final four? I mean, will be conference champions. Most of them are they're all unbeaten, right? They're undefeated. All of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
what don't you
like? I think Texas
is the second best.
I think Oregon probably deserves a look. Is Washington playing Oregon?
Yeah.
See, I think Oregon beats Washington.
Okay. Then you just put Oregon there and take Washington out.
Right. And then, now somebody's going to be like, well, I mean, you just made the argument for Georgia to stay in and lose the championship game. Why not Washington? Sorry, the SEC carries more weight than the Pac-12.
It does. Oh, that's some Nick Bears right now just ran off the road.
I know. He's welcome to call.
Sorry,
we can talk about it. But, I mean, like, the SEC carries more weight. It's a tougher schedule. It's a tougher conference. I think the SEC is more deserving in having two teams in than the Pac-12.
The committee right now is sitting there going, all right, just keep the four win. Just you four win on Saturday,
They're doing this like, guys, girls, this is the last time we have to do this crap, okay?
Right, this
next
is
next year, it's 12. It's fine.
Oh, God, I hate it so much. I hate it going from 2 to 4. I hate it. Hate it because it just every Saturday doesn't mean as much anymore. It's like we lost one, we still get in. We lost two, we still get. I hate it. And You know, it's, they're not going to be satisfied with 12. Be like, well, we got to get 16 in. Well, we got to get 24. It's never going to stop.
So this was, I guess The Athletic put this out last week. So this would probably be a little different. But so it would be the top four. It would be like Georgia. So if you take the top four now. All right. So Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State.
Okay.
They'd get first round byes. Bama would play Missouri. 8-9.
Okay. Right.
Interesting. Then you'd have Ohio State, I guess, playing whoever the group of five automatic is.
Tulane.
Yeah, Tulane.
Liberty, one of those two.
And then Oregon, Penn State is what they have. And
they don't
Texas,
deserve.
Louisville.
Don't deserve to be in it. I mean, it's just Ohio State doesn't. They got beat. You lost. You're done. It's over with. But now we got to make it these. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of them. They're going to listen to me anyway. I'm just not a fan of it.
I mean, because here's what would end up happening. Like, Bama's going to beat Missouri.
Yep.
So you get Georgia-Bama again in the quarterfinals. Then you'd get Michigan would destroy Tulane. Then they destroy Florida State.
Yep.
Oregon, I think, would beat Penn State. That'd probably be a good game, I think Oregon would beat Penn State. Then you get Washington, Oregon again.
Right.
Which would be a good game.
Biting more teams, you're not adding quality. You're not adding quality to this.
That's why I would have done 8 or 6. Because here's my point. You're going to get blowouts in the first round.
Correct.
You get to the second round, you're probably going to see some pretty good games because things are going to work out how they would have worked out anyway.
All right. Well, why can't we just keep it like it is at the four and it's chaos and people are going crazy and all that other stuff?
I understand. I have even before they did the 14 playoff, I was always like, 6 is a good number. You get a couple – the first round buys for the top two, but then 6 gives you a little bit more to talk about. Because would you agree that – with 4, yes, you get chaos and all of that, and we love chaos, but there are 2 that probably deserve to be in that get left out.
Oh, well, play better.
I know, but still, like, sometimes –
win your games. These 4 teams right now are all deserving to go if it stays out. These 4 teams are deserving
right,
to go.
Right, but, like, for an SEC schedule, a 1-loss team –
nobody
like,
cares.
I know, but you're punishing them for losing 1 game.
All right, win the game.
In a really tough conference.
Well, you know what you sign up for. Win the game. I mean, Texas to me is a fantastic football. Don't lose to Oklahoma. Don't lose these games. But now it's like, we lose, we can still get in. It's NFL-ish, and I hate it.
Is Texas, in your mind, is Texas a team that could win a national championship?
They are.
Okay, then they should be in.
Beat Oklahoma.
Okay, but still, even with 1 loss, they're capable of winning a championship.
That's the point I'm making. You lose, it doesn't matter.
Is Florida State at undefeated without their quarterback a team that you think can win a national championship?
Absolutely. If they win, they're 13-0 on Saturday. They won the SEC. They're absolutely there.
The ACC.
The ACC, yeah. But you're taking away because they lose a quarterback. No, I mean, it's not fair.
Okay.
I mean, you roll through your conference and you win. I mean, that's what I love about these 4. Now, next year it's like, okay, no argument, but it's going to be like, well, 13, 14, 15 didn't get in. And I mean, you're taking away what every Saturday means. That's what makes college football unique.
You're watering it down. I agree. You are watering it down.
Well, I don't like you pointing at me. And that's something I'm not a
fan
of.
You want to fight.
I'm not a fan of you pointing at me. If you'd come in the office every once in a while, then I would have a word
I'm
with you.
I'm right here.
Right.
Across from you.
I don't have my zebra shirt on today, gentlemen.
You got me fired up, man.
Can't do this today.
Does Jeff want to weigh in on this real quick?
He does.
Okay. Jeff, real quick, what's up?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I'm just trying to look at it from a player standpoint when you start talking about expanding the playoffs. These guys are putting their bodies on the line and jeopardizing a potential NFL career, especially if you're a high-profile player. I mean, there's too much money here. These guys are in the second highest sporting league in the nation. I mean, what do you do here? Does it open up a possibility of unionizing down the line? I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I mean, I think that's coming.
Oh, there are lawyers circling right now. Absolutely. That's a very good phone call.
Look, I think, and I told you, I think we're going to have something along the lines of trades happen at some point.
Well, and I think NCAA is going to be gone. It's going to be just a massive super conference, and that's what's going to be what's happened there. And there's going to be a lot of teams left out of that. And I think salaries for coaches are going to go up. I think buyouts are going to go out and just get used to all
and
that.
And the commissioner of that is going to be Greg Sankey.
Think so?
I think so. Okay. I mean, I think he's been driving a lot of this. So, I mean, why wouldn't he?
True.
I like Greg Sankey. I mean, there's
that one night with him, me, you, and him, and Destin.
Oh man!
You said you wouldn't bring.
I know. I'm sorry. That was Jerry Sankey. Yeah, my bad.
Ricky's still recovering from that. He is. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, we'll talk to John McClain from Houston coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Wednesday, and every Wednesday at this time, we say hello to John McClain, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
If I were any better, it'd be illegal.
Oh, I love that. That's always a good feeling for sure. The Titans actually get a win against the lowly Carolina Panthers at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. All is right with the world once again, except, nope, we get articles out of Boston talking about this Mike Vrabel stuff. And also that apparently Rand Carthon had job issues in San Francisco and just everything that has come out of this. What was your take on the piece out of Boston and everything that's come out since?
First of all, I know several people in the 49ers organization really well. Most of them there were with Texans for years. Kyle Shanahan rehired them. And I've talked to D'Amico Ryans about Carthon. And they all think he's really good at what he does. He was going to get a GM's job. It wasn't a matter of if, but when. And he's been on the job now, several months? It'd be very unfair to judge him. Mike Vrabel isn't going anywhere. They can wish and they can hope all they want, but it's not going to make it happen. And this time of year is when a lot of these things start to come out anonymously. But I believe, based on the people that I talked to about Carthon, that they're in good shape. And based on what I know about Mike Vrabel, they're in good shape. It's hard for me to believe the Texans actually lost to the Panthers on a field goal with no time left, in which C.J. Stroud threw for 140 yards and afterwards said, I want to have explosive plays, and they lead the league in explosive plays ever since. But Carolina is terrible, and I'm sure right now Titans fans are glad they have Will Levis, who's in much better hands. Tim Kelly was here when Deshaun Watson was a rookie. He was on the offensive side of the ball. He called plays for Watson at the end. He called plays for Davis Mills when he was a rookie, and Mills had some good games, including a great one against the Titans in the last game of the season here, in which the Titans had to win to get home field advantage, and Mills lit them up for over 300 yards, and they won by 3 points. So Tim's got another rookie, another talented rookie, second most talented he's had. But I think those quarterbacks, based on what I saw Kelly do here, and Watson was prolific in 2020. He played great. And then Davis Mills played better than we thought he could, that Will Levis is in good hands with Tim Kelly.
John McClain is with us. So, you know, and I tend to agree with you that I don't think Vrabel is going anywhere and all of that. But why do you think this stuff keeps coming up, though?
Same thing. I went through this, oh, my goodness, going back to when Bill O'Brien was fired 4 games into the 2020 season. Romeo Crennel was elevated. There are so many things out there that are wrong, and people don't make them up. They trust people they believe. If somebody says, hey, I'm hearing this or I believe this, most of this is done by agents, and agents always have an agenda. Like Texas A&M, as soon as they fired Jimbo Fisher, I tweeted and said on my 18 weekly talk shows that we're going to see a lot of agents from big-time coaches using the Aggies to get raises and extensions and fill Ryan Day's names leaked because he's getting ripped for losing to Michigan. So you say, oh, he may go to A&M. Media runs it. all of a sudden, all those Ohio State fans, whoa, Ryan, don't. We didn't mean it. We don't want you to be fired. Please don't leave. Dabo Swinney was listed as a candidate. And, of course, Mark Stoops, no telling what he's ended up with as far as a raise before they hired Mike Elko to come back, who'd been their defensive coordinator for 3 years. And so many times I see things and I know it's got the agent's fingerprints all over it. And if you're like I used to, when I was not a columnist and I covered the beat, I'd have a lot of agents want to use me. And if it was a good story and it had a smidgen of truth in it, I'd run it because I need those agents later on other things. I didn't make stuff up, but I would run it if it had a chance. And so people hear things, they get a lot of clicks, gets a lot of attention, and maybe it's right. Maybe Mike Vrabel will be up at New England. I don't know why in the world Mike would want to go to New England and replace the greatest coach in history. I think he's happy right there with the way things are. When an owner loves you, there's a lot to be said about that, as teams like the Carolina Panthers are finding out quick, as the Raiders found out quick. If that owner is in your corner, that means everything for head coach.
Amen. Talking to the legend, John McClain, right now on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. John, we talk a lot about coaches in the NFL, but hardly ever is Doug Peterson's name brought up. And I think the job he's done at Jacksonville is fantastic. You had a front row seat to see that game versus Houston on Sunday. Why do you think that Peterson is not talked about? I mean, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, and the job he's done now with Trevor Lawrence is something just short of being remarkable.
Well, I think that they had the number one pick 2 years in a row, and they took Trevor Lawrence, a generational quarterback who's not playing like a generational quarterback, and Trayvon Walker, who's not playing like a number one overall pick, but he's still good. He collapses the pocket, and Josh Allen gets all the sacks. But Doug stepped into a really good situation with a lot of good young talent. They signed a lot of free agents at skill positions at receiver and tight end last year. So he got there at the right time. And I'm not saying any coach could have done that, but he did it. When they had that comeback victory over the Chargers in the playoffs, I don't know if that was more of a case of the Chargers choking with Brandon Staley or a case of Doug Peterson being a mastermind who brought him from behind, probably a little bit of both. And as bad as the Texans played Sunday, they still could have forced overtime for another 3 inches on a 58-yard field goal. Could have won, could have tied it and forced overtime. But either they're going to run away with the division. They're going to get a home game now. And Indianapolis and Houston will be fighting for a wild card berth.
You know, John, you've covered the league for a long time. At this point in the season, you like to see teams that are having fun. Of course, winning helps everything. But the Ravens, I watched that game Sunday night. They, you know, Chargers took them to the wire. I get all that. But that team seems to be having a lot of fun right now. And did you pick them to go all the way?
I picked them to win the Super Bowl on my talk shows and podcasts and columns and tweets. And the only reason I did it is because nobody else was. I picked them last time they won a Super Bowl. I picked them to win. When Philadelphia won in 17, I picked them to go and lose. And the only reason I did is nobody else was doing it. If you don't, you know, all my other picks, you know, were wrong and nobody talks about them. But boy, if you're right, you know, people let you know. In Philadelphia, when I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, I had two or three talk shows call me like, "What are you smoking?" And I wish they'd have called me back, even though I didn't get it right. But I put a lot of faith in a head coach, John Harbaugh. Of course, the key for them, Lamar Jackson had stayed healthy the last 2 years. And just because he gets to the playoffs doesn't mean he's going to win. He's won one playoff game. You know, his next measure of greatness is to stay healthy and win more than one playoff game. And I hope he does. I'm tired of seeing Kansas City. I'd like to see Baltimore so I could crow a little bit.
He is John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We'll have more with John coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Hey, we'll be live from the NASCAR Awards tomorrow at the Music City Center. It's all brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Learn more at greentreescompany.com. Chase and Big Joe, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, presented by Regal Realty Group. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And John, as I watched the season unfold, we saw a great ending to a football game between the Eagles and the Bills, and the Eagles come out on top. They have proven to me right now they are the best team in the NFL. But should we be talking about the Bills and potentially maybe they move on from Sean McDermott if things don't turn around, or is it just one of those down seasons?
I think it's a disappointing season. It's a down season. They played well. They should have won that game. They had a chance to win it. Jake Elliott kicking a 58-yard field goal in that weather. That reminded me of Adam Vinatieri, clutch kicking in bad weather. And Jalen Hurts came back, scored a touchdown after the Bills kicked the field goal. I don't think Sean McDermott's going to get fired. The key is, will Joe Brady do well enough to keep the offensive coordinator job over the fired Ken Dorsey? Josh Allen has played better. They've scored more than 30 points in both games. They can still earn that wild card berth. When I look at Indianapolis, which would be the last wild card, and then Denver and Houston, first two teams would be in, and I see Buffalo behind them, I still have more faith in the Bills, although they play a tougher schedule. But I just can't believe Buffalo would actually miss the playoffs, but I do not think McDermott will be fired.
John, a lot of people weighing in. What are your opinion on the NFL release? Came out of the 25 semifinalists. Then we dropped to 15 for the NFL Hall of Fame, class of 24. Eddie George is one of those. And a lot of discussion about should he not be in the Hall of Fame. I know you have a vote, and you've done this for a long time. Your thoughts on him? You don't have to, you know, say he's in or not, but with this class, I mean, a lot of talented guys in there. I just don't see, John, my opinion, a lot of Hall of Fame guys on this list. I could be wrong.
The I'll be presenting Andre Johnson for the third year in a row. In the last 2 years, he and Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt have canceled each other out, and I'll keep making my presentation, tweaking it, trying to come up with different information. I'm glad Eddie made the semifinals, because Eddie had over 10,000 yards. And people look, well, his average per carry was bad, but those people don't have a clue the kind of fronts he went up against, eight-man fronts on a consistent basis, just daring Steve McNair to throw the ball. And I'm glad. I'd like to see Eddie become a finalist, because when you're among the 15 finalists, that's when you get discussed in our meetings. And Paul Kaharsky would talk about Eddie for 5 minutes, and then others could talk about him. Then they would come back to Paul. And I'd love just to see Eddie get discussed so we could explain why his average per carry is not like Barry Sanders, because he played on an entirely different type of offense with a defensive head coach, with teams doing their strategy designed to stop him. And so I'm happy Eddie's getting a little attention.
How much, when you all are discussing these things, do you factor, like, because we've had this conversation about Derek Mason and his special teams, and does special teams get factored in, you know, when you're talking about him? But how much do you factor in that they had a quarterback that, you know, in some senses would take some carries away from Eddie with what Steve McNair was able to do with his legs? Like, how much do you look at just the team as a whole and what factors into either helping or hurting a player in his Hall of Fame bid?
If Eddie George were to get into the final 15, we could discuss all that. You know, we don't meet. We email, we DM, we text, we talk about people who are worthy. And there's so many that are worthy and not been in, including like 50 all-decade players who've never even been a finalist. And because it's hard. And when guys don't get in, it's not because they're not worthy. It's because of the competition. And I think people that should understand that. I know with Kaharsky, would make a great presentation, because Paul does a good job. The key is for Eddie to get that point and have everybody amplify about what it was about that offense that Eddie did have 10,000 yards, which is pretty amazing considering the type of system he was in, and a great point about McNair running the ball a lot as well. So I hope he gets the next step.
John, is it true that the guy who presented Jerry Rice got up in front of all of y'all and said two words? He said, Jerry Rice, and sat down?
No, that started with Dan Marino, then John Elway, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Jerry Rice. They stood up and made about a 30-second presentation and sat down, because in that case, we don't want them wasting our time. It's an eight and a half hour meeting. We have a lot of debate. And when it's a guy like a no-brainer and is no debate. And so just say his name, sit so we can move on.
I love it. Let me ask you this, John, and I love your opinion, and I love when you come on with us. Tell me why Too Tall Jones is not in the Hall of Fame.
Too Tall has been a finalist before, and I couldn't tell you. I mean, people don't say, I don't think he deserves it. I think I see Ed quite a bit here because he's a gridiron legend of Texas, and he comes down from Dallas for events here. Great guy. And I've told him before, just keep being patient. That's what I tell all the old guys, because I'm on the seniors committee, and we get to pick three a year now. And he's certainly deserving. I don't know if it's because people think, well, there's so many Cowboys from those teams, which shouldn't have anything to do with it. You either deserve it or you don't. And I think Too Tall, I don't know why he's not in, other than the competition.
Derrick Henry's now over 9,000 yards. And, you know, if you're kind of doing a comparison to Eddie, he's less than 1,000 away from surpassing him there. Mm-hmm. He's well past him when it comes to touchdowns, which I think, you know, people hold against Eddie, that he only had 68 touchdowns in his career. But when you're looking at Derrick Henry and his body of work, what else does he need to do to pretty much lock himself into Canton?
I think he needs to keep playing. He needs to get over 10,000 yards, somewhere around 12 would be great. You know, his 200-yard games, his 2,000-yard season, all that will be in his favor. You know, there's not a lot of people think there's not many running backs going to go into the Hall of Fame in the future because of the way they're used. But the way Derrick Henry's been used is exactly what running backs have done for decades. At one point, a running back was just or more important than a quarterback because he was going to get the ball 25 or 30 times on a consistent basis. He's going to score a lot of touchdowns. And I think Derek will get in. I think he's going to be one of the last ones to get in because I don't think he's going to be retiring anytime soon. And early in the season when he didn't get the ball much, I think that's working in his favor because now he gets the ball much. And if they can improve their offensive line, assuming he's back with the Titans, and improve the offensive line next year, then he could be more effective. I know those two touchdowns Sunday, that was vintage Derrick Henry, and people are happy to see it.
Would you bring him back if you're the Titans?
If the money was good, they see him every day in practice. They know the kind of beating he's taking, but they know how healthy he is. It's hard to judge a running back when you don't have a consistently good run-blocking offensive line. But they see how he cuts. They have speeds of how quick he gets to the line of scrimmage. They have every morsel of information at their fingertips when the time comes. But I'm guessing his agent is going to want to go where he gets the money. But when you're 30 and you're running back and you got a lot of mileage, you're not going to get many offers for good money.
John, when the Chargers eventually going to move on from Staley, how impressive or good is that job with the right coach? Because, John, there is a lot of talent on that football team.
Joe, it's the best job in the NFL. The hot coordinator is Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator from the Lions. Texans interviewed him last year. He said, I need another year of seasoning. And he went back, and their offensive line is one of the most prolific in the NFL. Now, he's from North Carolina. They're already talking about Dave Tepper paying him any amount of money to get him to come home. But I don't remember him having stupid written across his forehead. If he's got a chance to go to the Chargers with Justin Herbert and the talent that they have on both sides of the ball, I think he's, and I don't care if he's only being offered $5 million instead of $7 or $8 million, he's going to lose it in taxes in California anyway. But that is such a great, could be a great job. And Brandon Staley's a good example of what a coordinator takes a job too soon. He was a coordinator 1 year, but he had been with Vic Fangio. Then he'd been, I can't remember where he was, Denver. And then he went with Fangio. Then he got the head coaching job, and he wasn't ready. And his defense, his specialty, is what's holding them back. And they do have some talent on that defense. So I think assistant coaches, coordinators, are going to line up, because when you see what D'Amico Ryans is doing, what Shane Steichen is doing in Indianapolis, they're both 6-5. You know you want that eye coordinator. I don't know if Kellen Moore will be considered or not, but if I'm the Chargers, I'm getting rid of Staley, and I'm making Ben Johnson my first call.
Well done. 6 weeks ago, the Denver Broncos had 70 dropped on them by Miami, but, John, they've won 5 straight. Talk a little bit about the job Sean Payton's done in Denver, because it's pretty remarkable.
In their winning streak of 5 in a row, they've given up 8 touchdowns. That's 2 fewer than they gave up to Miami. They were early in the season when they were 1-5. They were giving up 36.2 points. In their winning streak, they're giving up 16.5. So they're coming here. The Texans lost to Jacksonville by 3 on a field goal that didn't go in at the end. They need to win this one because they're tied with the Broncos, and they're the first 2 teams out of the last wild card spot, which is occupied by the Colts, who beat the Texans, and they play in Indy in the last game of the year. And I'll tell you something that is very interesting we talk about here. The last game between the Texans and the Colts in Indianapolis could be crucial for both teams, just as it was last year in the last game, crucial for both teams because the number one pick could have been at stake. And so for the totally opposite reasons. But that just shows, if you get the right assistant coach and you're an owner, you know, you can sit back and watch the results pour in. But that's why a guy like David Tepper, he'll get a coach. You know, he's going to pay millions and millions of dollars, and they'll line up to go there. But if you got options, I'm seriously considering another option.
Yeah, I think I would too. John, appreciate it as always. We will talk next week.
Always an honor to be on the Chasing Big Joe show. Yeah. Have a great rest of the week.
You too, John. Appreciate it. John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, joining us, and always good stuff. The Hall of Fame conversation is one I want to get into.
Yeah, that's also interesting. If John lived here, I think he would block me in all facets of his life. Because, you know, I love the history of the NFL.
Sure.
And I'd be talking to him nonstop. And the Too Tall Jones, yeah, let's get in the Hall of Fame thing. Because the Too Tall Jones thing drives me crazy that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and I want to talk about Eddie, too, because I think you and I may differ on this.
We do.
A little bit. Also, tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt women's basketball is on the court. The Commodores will be on the road against North Carolina State. Tip-off at 6:15, pregame at 6 o'clock. Coverage is also available on 94.9 The Fan and the 94.9thefan.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.